The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, thanks for joining us once again. This is God Calling. We're glad you're here with us. And we're also glad that Amanda and Joe Madigan are here, a married couple with six children. You guys are not real big on social media. I was trying to find out all kinds of stuff, and I saw this beautiful picture with you with two children. And you just broke the news to me that you've got the Brady Bunch going. Joe, welcome. Amanda, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Joe, where'd you grow up in your parish, and did you go to Catholic schools, things like that?
I did. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and I went to Catholic grade school and Catholic high school. I went to DeSmet Jesuit in St. Louis, and I lived there until I was until I went to college, and that's when I came to Cleveland to attend John Carroll University.
Mm-hmm. A communications degree, I read.
That is correct, yes, which is funny because I do tax and accounting work now. Yeah. So that's where my communications degree led me.
Well, I'll tell you what, it wasn't a bad choice. The media is changing, there's no doubt about that. I'm not going to say for better or for worse because I'll sound like some angry old guy who retired, you know, but you know, it's changing, and you're helping people as well.
That's true, and I work normal hours, and I don't have to work on Christmas.
I like that. I like that, too. Amanda, how about you?
I grew up in Twinsburg, Ohio, and my schooling was a little bit of everything. As my parents got deeper into their faith, my schooling changed, so mm-hmm. I started out in public school until second grade, and then third through fourth I did our parochial school, and eventually from fifth grade through 12th I was homeschooled, which I really enjoyed a lot.
You say your parent religious life had changed. What happened?
Yeah, just as they became deeper. My mom is a convert, so after her conversion to Catholicism, and then my dad becoming a deeper and more faithful Catholic, and then their bringing us along with that. Mm-hmm. And so our faith life growing up was very full.
How important was that example?
It was very much so. I rely on my parents for so much, and I'm just learning, being a wife and a mother, how important it was to grow up with them.
And keep that example
for my kids.
For your kids, yes. Yeah, right. Joe, you came to Cleveland. How did you guys meet?
That is a phenomenal story right there. One that's very hard to believe, but the long story short is I met her through a girl I met online.
Okay. It was providential.
It certainly was. And it's part three of my vocation story. There are three times where I prayed whether or not I should pursue married life or the priesthood. Mm-hmm. And something I always thought about, especially once as I mentioned, I grew up in St. Louis, so in 1999, Pope St. John Paul II said Mass at the TWA Dome, and I was there for that Mass, and vocations, it was a big discussion point. All my friends in grade school said, oh, Joe, you're going to become a priest someday. Uh-huh. So it was always something I kept in the back of my mind. And then a couple years later, I saw the Pope again in Toronto for World Youth Day in 2002. And all throughout that week, vocations was just hammered home to us. And so the night before the Mass, we were all out on a field. I think it used to be an airport in Toronto. And so we all had our makeshift tents, and the Pope had just left. He just did a prayer service with us. He left and was coming back the next morning for Mass. And that night, I was praying. I said, all right, God, if you want me to become a priest, let me know, and I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And later on that night, at about 1 a.m, I remember waking up to some very annoying cheerleading happening on stage. It was a big pep rally about the vocation of marriage. And I thought nothing of it at the time because I was just wanting to go to sleep. It had already been a long day. It had been a long week. I wanted to sleep. And I didn't realize that may have been an answer until about 2 weeks later when I was telling my friend about what had happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it hit me. I'm thinking, maybe that was God's way of answering me.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Now, had the call to possible priesthood always been in the back of your head? When did that start?
I would say probably the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been an altar server. I'd serve from fourth grade, and I would serve every single Saturday evening Mass in my parish growing up. So I knew the Mass like the back of my hand, it seemed. So it was something that I was always very much involved with and thought, all right, well, then this could be the next step. This could lead me into the priesthood. And obviously, that didn't happen in the long run, but I continued to pray about it while I was single. And the second time I received an answer was I was working at a time for the Knights of Columbus, and I was praying about whether or not I should pursue the priesthood or not. And that night I had a dream that I met Pope Benedict, and I was surrounded by all these priests. And I remember being overwhelmed in the dream, and I knelt before Pope Benedict, and he said to me, "You do good work for the Knights of Columbus." And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of that. And the next time, the third time I prayed about it, it was at the fest.
Okay, here in Cleveland.
I'd never gone before, but the reason why I went was because a couple of my friends said that there was going to be this Christian punk band playing and that they wanted to see them. So I said, all right, well, I'll go too. So I went, and by the time I got there, they had already left because the band already played.
Okay.
So I said, oh, well, that stinks, so I'm going to go home. So as I'm leaving, I notice that there are priests sitting under umbrellas spread out on a field. And I thought that looked kind of funny. So I asked somebody, what's going on here? They said, oh, it's confession. Oh, well, it's been years since I've been to confession. Since I'm here, I might as well go. So I remember it was Father Olszewski, who was the priest that I met with, and I sat down in front of him. I said, you know, before I go over my litany of sins, I do want to talk to you about vocations, because it seems that God's always telling me that the priesthood is not for me, but yet I'm nowhere near marriage here. So what's going on? So we talked about that. And as soon as I left confession, I get a text message from the girl that I met online at Catholic Match. And we had gone out a couple times, and we both agreed that, yeah, we're just going to be friends, and left it at that. So I was surprised that she was reaching out to me again, and she invited me to a game night at St. Charles in Parma. So I said, hey, I've got nothing to lose. I got nothing else going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a conversation with Father Olszewski. I might as well just kind of go along with it and see what happens. So I was very open to it. So we go to St. Charles the next Saturday. And my thinking going into this was, it's going to be a bunch of young kids and a bunch of old people. We're going to play bingo and it'll be fun. But when I walked in, it was a bunch of people in their 20s and 30s. So I was really surprised by that. And the first person I saw was my future wife.
It's a great place to stop. You got a lot to match you. That's quite a story, Amanda.
You just have a good story.
We'll be right back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Stay with us. Amanda and Joe Madigan are joining us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host. We're here each and every week at this time. You guys are at the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but in South Euclid. But before we get there, Amanda, he's got a cliffhanger going here. He comes to the card night in Parma, and you're there, and you're the first person he sees. What'd he say?
Well, first of all, from my side, it was rather miraculous, I think, that I was actually at the game night that night, because I had been involved with this young adult group out of St. Charles, but I had gone with my family on a vacation earlier in the summer, and then I had kind of stopped. I got out of the routine of it, and so I hadn't been to events, but there was one friend from there who kept texting me, "Did you fall off the face of the earth? Where are you?" So I said, "Ah, oh, I should go to an event just to see her, I guess." So I had tried an event and she wasn't there. So then I said, "Well, do I go to this one or that one?" Well, she usually goes to the game night. So I guess because she wants to see me, I'll go to this game night. But the day of, I was in Perry with a friend. It was like an hour's drive from my house. I never leave before like 9 o'clock because it's such a commitment to go and spend time with her. But I left early. It's like, I have to go to this game night. I have to see this friend who's been texting me. And so it was strange for me to have left. And I went to the game night, and lo and behold, it's the one that he happens to be at. And
Was it the same friend or just different friends?
They were different friends.
Okay.
They were different people. But yeah, I'm sitting at the table, and the funny thing is we were closest to the door, a girl and I, as he came in. And introductions are happening, and I tell him my name, and the first thing he says to me is, "Oh, that'll be easy to remember. That's my sister's name."
Okay. Well,
yeah. And I go, "Oh, good."
So did you strike up a conversation, or did he barge in on your table? Or
Well, he actually did barge in on the table. He sat across from me. The funny thing is, he and the girl he came with were split up for the whole rest of the night. Like, he came and sat over here, and she wanted to see people over there. And the other neat thing that he mentioned, that's right, is when they came in, she introduced both of them. But in my head, she put just the right emphasis on friend. She gave her name, and then she said, "And this is my friend, Joe."
Okay.
And so in my head, I go, "They're just friends."
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. And it went all over his head. He was like, I didn't pick up on that at all.
Well, that's guys, you know, that's how we are.
That's true.
Yeah. How'd the night proceed, Joe?
Well, I'm sitting across the table from her. We're playing Scrabble. And at one point, I'm trying to figure out how on earth I'm going to use the letter Q. And so I asked for the dictionary, and Amanda had it. So she handed it to me, and that's when I sort of noticed her for the first time. It's like, "Oh, hi, how are you?" And then throughout the night, throughout the night, I'd look up, and I would notice that she was looking at me. And I thought, "Oh, okay." And then I look up a second time, and she's looking at me. And I said to myself, "All right, the next time I catch her looking at me, I'm just going to keep staring back. And I'm going to see what happens."
Yeah.
So the next time I caught her looking at me, I just stared at her and was waiting to see what she would do. And she smiled at me. And that's when I thought, I think she likes me.
Is that true, man? Did you like him, or you think he was creepy?
No.
Who's this guy staring at me?
No, it's true. It was true. Yeah. I was trying to be subtle.
Now, in your life, has you ever thought about any sort of a religious vocation, or was it always kind of mom, wife?
I'd always wanted to be a wife and a mother. When I was in high school, I went on a come and see retreat with the Little Sisters of the Poor, and that scared me because I didn't want to be called to religious life. I wanted to be married. But then when I was 18, my freshman year of college, I had to come to a firm decision, because it was still in the back of my head, what if I am? And I heard a talk by Kimberly Hahn, and in it she said, "God will always give you the desires of your heart, but you have to be willing to let him change those desires." So I brought it before the Lord. I said, "This is what I desire. I desire to be married, but if that's not what you want for me, then change it." And the whole time that I prayed that, my desire for marriage just increased. It did not change. So that's what I took as my sign, if you will, that marriage was where I was called.
But you know, you kind of wonder if you don't explore that or didn't explore that or pray about it, that you might be, maybe I should have. Or,
yeah.
Clearly you're happily married. But, and Joe, it's kind of the same with you. If you hadn't thought about it and prayed about it, then you might be left with this hole or something like, maybe I should have done that. Or not that you necessarily would regret what you did. But I hear that a lot from some of our guests here on the program. So how'd you ask her out?
Well,
you spell out letters with the Scrabble, you know.
I should have. That would have been brilliant. But I felt awkward because, as Amanda mentioned, when the person I arrived with emphasized that I was just a friend, it went over my head. So I thought, it might be kind of weird if I ask her out and she thinks, well, wait a second, what about this other girl that you arrived with? So what happened was I said, okay, well, maybe I can find her on Facebook, but how? So I went up to somebody else in the group and I said, hey, does St. Charles have a Facebook page? She goes, oh, yes, we have a Facebook page for our young adult group. I said, perfect. So later that night, I went on and I joined the group.
Ah.
So did I. I wasn't in the group. I was more into Facebook. I'm not on Facebook anymore, but back then I was. And I would post some things, but I wasn't into like going onto groups and doing all of that. So I wasn't a part of the group. But when I heard him mention it, I was like, oh, I better be a part of that group or he's not going to find me.
That communications, you know, you could have been an investigative reporter there. You figured out how to do it.
Yeah, so it all really fell into place there because the next day I found her on Facebook through the group page. So I friended her and she accepted. And then I said, well, I don't want to appear to be too eager, so I'll give it a day and then I'll send her a message. So I sent her a message. And at the time she was teaching at Padre Pio Academy and I thought that was interesting. So I said, hey, you know, I'd like to learn more about what you do at Padre Pio. And she said, well, I want to know more about what you do. And that sort of opened up the door for me to ask her out, and we went out that following Saturday, and we've been together ever since.
Wow. That's a wonderful story, both. You did have a great story. Just you matched his in the first segment, so this is all good, too. We'll be back with more. Let's talk about your family and that part of your life, which has got to be very, very busy. You're listening to God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host every week, and I hope you'll join us each and every week at this same time. Stay with us. Amanda and Joe Madigan, our guests on God Calling, parents of six children. Amanda, was that always in your plan to have a large family? I know you always wanted to be married and a mom, but...
No, it was always in my plan. I grew up, I'm one of five siblings, and growing up in a homeschool community, we always had one of the smallest families.
Mm-hmm, really?
So, yeah, I always felt like we had a little family, and I wanted many kids. I really liked that.
Joe, same with you?
I am the oldest of three.
All right.
And number three is 10 years younger than me, and that's my baby brother, Sean. So I grew up taking care of him as a 12, 13-year-old. So that was sort of my introduction to what parenthood is going to look like.
So you had some training in dadhood,
yes.
Parenthood.
And I thought it'd be fun to have kids. I've always enjoyed being around little kids. It was actually on our first date. I asked Amanda, so what is it that you want to do in the long term? She goes, I want to stay at home and have lots of kids and homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, that sounds like a great plan. This is going to work out just great.
How long after that did you get married? After you first went out?
After we first went out, it was 15 months.
That's right.
15 months.
I got your match. 15 months for us, too. Yeah. 45 years ago. But when did the family start? Joe?
Right away, pretty much. We got married in December, and Amanda was pregnant with Molly 2 months later. So Molly's our oldest.
So she was born in October the following year.
2013. And then, and so we have six now. So Edith came in 2015. And then we moved to our new home, and Charles came 2 weeks later. Charles, a very significant name in our life for many reasons, and part of it was because we met at St. Charles.
St. Charles, sure.
And then Margaret came next, and so she is
three
now, and then Peter is two, and John, our youngest, is 10 months old.
Mm-hmm. You did a good, that's good, knowing all the years and everything, that's pretty good. I mean, and are you homeschooling?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
How hectic is that? Diapers on the one end,
yeah.
And then...
It varies day to day. Our oldest is an autodidact. That's a new word that I learned.
Oh.
That is a self-teacher.
Really?
So she started reading when she was four. She's been reading chapter books. She's eight now for like 3 years. She just reads everything. So she is in second grade, but she does a good job. Like, I review her work, and I'll do things. If she has questions, I'll help her. But she's pretty much self-taught.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
She does a good job, and she'll just read whatever she can get her hands on and everything. So that helps because she's more independent with it. And Edith is in first grade. So I do more hands-on stuff mm-hmm. with her because she needs the help. So it depends on whether the other ones are getting along that day or not. If they're not getting along, school is a little more spread out and you do, you know, one thing here or there, or it's less structured and it's more like verbal lessons and things, teachings.
Do you separate them out? I know nothing about homeschooling, but you put one in the room to read a book or something and then somebody else over here, or is it kind of all together?
The school kids are usually together. So Molly okay. and Edith, and then Charlie was doing a little bit of preschool. So okay. if you're doing school, you're allowed in the school room. Mm-hmm. And then the other ones, I blocked off our living room mm-hmm. and made it into a huge playpen. So the ones who weren't doing school, they could still be we could still see them and hear them, but they weren't actually allowed to be inside the room. They okay. had to stay in their own room and play and things. Snacks help a lot.
Yeah. Well, there's a certain discipline to that too, that, you know, these are the rules and, right. you know, living by those rules. Right. Joe, you ever get a call at the office? These kids are driving me crazy.
No, but I do get some interesting text messages every once in a while with some funny stories, especially stories involving mud. Kids and mud go like peas in pod, it seems.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much mud they can get on themselves and on the floor and on everywhere in the house. It's amazing.
Walls are great, and prints. But there's a joy in that. And I could tell from the way you smiled when you said you get these interesting texts of something cute that happened or this or that, and you just kind of get a smile and helps the workday fly.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Now, tell me about your work.
Well, I do tax and accounting work. I've had a couple career changes, and this is my third career change, and hopefully my last, because I really enjoy doing this. I'm an enrolled agent working for a small company here in Cleveland, and we have an office in Solon, so my commute is very short, which is nice.
Yeah.
Don't have to go on 480 every day. So I've been doing that for almost 3 years now, which is hard to believe. Time flies.
Yeah.
So I like it. It's very good work.
I mean, how tough is that to have them gone during the day? How long of a day are you alone? And never alone. But on your own, I suppose, as far as running the household and school.
I mean, it's pretty standard. He leaves at about 8:30 in the morning and he's home by 6, except for tax season. Tax season can get long and hard.
I was going to ask about that. April 1st is not a day to plan a vacation or anything like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, typically once, 5 o'clock rolls around, I'm going, all right, he's going to be home soon. Because getting dinner can be the hardest part, mm-hmm. depending upon the day. Again, it always, things are in flux because the days are just changing and the kids are either playing or fighting. But getting dinner with all of them can be the roughest. So when he gets home and it's like, okay, you can take a couple of the kids and I can finish dinner, mm-hmm. it makes it a little easier.
Do you all go to church as a family, or is
that? Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I know some people split up, not us. We go to Mass. It's a 20-minute commute to Sacred Heart of Jesus in South Euclid, so we pray the rosary. Perfect amount of time for that. Mm-hmm. And we sit in the front row. And there's a reason why we do that, because I know you go to a lot of churches, all the kids and parents are way in the back.
Yep.
We're in the front so that the kids can actually see what's going on, mm-hmm. and it keeps their attention. I mean, they're not always 100% focused, but it definitely helps. And we're starting a trend at our parish, because last Sunday, in the first three rows, I think there were a total of 18 kids.
Wow. That's great.
So we're trying to mm-hmm. we're trying to tell our people, hey, if you have kids, it's okay to sit up close. Be up close.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be catching on, which is good, because Father Ireland, our pastor, is he enjoys seeing more and more kids in our parish. And it's certainly growing. The amount of young families coming to the parish have certainly increased in the last couple of years. So it's certainly a great thing to see.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, how important it's for the kids to see, because there's a lot to see during the Mass that you can't see from the mm-hmm. back, particularly if there's incense or something like that in some sort of a ceremonial. Do you see the kids engaging more?
Yes, it is neat to see. They'll stand on the kneelers and just watch, mm-hmm. or if they're starting to get out of hand, it's a quick distraction. Hey, do you see what Father's doing? Or look at what the server's doing. And you can kind of quietly talk to them about what's going on at the different parts of the Mass, or you can point out the statues or the tabernacle or the flowers, sure. and it helps to keep them in the pew because it's a good attention grabber.
I'm getting the wrap-up sign already. I wish we had more time. Thanks for joining us, Amanda and Joe Madigan from Sacred Heart of Jesus in South Euclid. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God help you with your children.
And, he does.
Just a wonderful family. Nice talking to you. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Join us next week at this time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.